Morning, church. Okay, we started this Live Different series talking about the biological life that comes to us through nature that tends to run down and decay. That's the bios life. And then we have the spiritual life, which is in God from all eternity, that made the whole universe, that Zoe life. So we have the two. So Pastor Wilbur started the series talking about transformation of life that takes place in the love of Christ, how we go from bios to Zoe. And today, in the final sermon of this series, we will be talking about new community. New community that we'll engage in after entering into metamorphosis. So back in Singapore, I have a very close friend. As you can see up there, that was me roughly 6 years ago when I was still slim, and that is my best friend. So, the way I've come to know this friend, it's a very interesting way. So I was interning in church. It was about lunchtime. I was going out. So he walked into church and he asked, "Hey, when does the church worship? Can I come?" Oh, I was a bit shocked. I was a bit stunned. Well, what a way to come to church. He just walked right in and he came up to me and said, "When do you worship? I want to come to church." That is interesting. That is a very rare would someone just walk into church randomly. Usually your friends would bring you, you would bring your friends. That's how you come to church, right? So of course, the response I gave him was, "Yes, of course, you are welcome. We worship on Saturday, 5 p.m. I would love to see you there." We exchanged numbers and I waited for him on Saturday. And that's how I got to know him. So during that time, I had this question in my mind. I was like, why would he suddenly come to church? And why would he suddenly say, "I want to join in"? Why? So I wanted to know what attracted him to come to church at that point in time. But I left it hanging because we weren't close. I didn't feel okay enough to ask him, "Hey, why do you come to church?" So years passed, and while he was in church, he had happy experiences and he had unhappy experiences. And being his closest friend in church, at his saddest moment, he would always complain to me, "Dude, sometimes I regret coming to church, and I just want to leave. I just want to go back. I just want to go back to being alone. I just want to be all by myself all over again." But every single time when he shared those kind of thoughts with me, it remained as just words. He has never left. And until this day, he is still serving in church. He is still participating. He is still coming for worship. And that question that I had right at the start, "Why did you come to church?" lingered. So I asked him one fine day, thinking, "Why did he even come to church?" I was curious. So I popped the question, "Bro, why do you choose to come to church? And why do you choose to stay?" He answered me very honestly and he said, he came to church is because he felt his life was without purpose. There was no meaning and that he felt lost. He was tired of the people around him who cared only about money and promotion. He was tired of all the rat race and all the self-centeredness that surrounded him at work. And he thought that coming to church, it would mean that there was something different, and Christianity as a religion would give him the answer that he seeks. So I asked, "So why do you stay?" The reason that kept him in church was the friends. The friends that he made in church, it was the care and concern that he received that kept him in church. He said that he knew that the care and concern that he receives here would not be present in any other community that he might join. And he felt that other places, ultimately, it is still each man for himself in this concrete jungle. So he said these exact words, and that impacted me very heavily. He said, "Yes, there might be hurt, there might be conflicts, but it is the love of Christ from others that made me stay in church." And those words left a huge impact on me. Have any of you felt this way? Have you felt that the outside world tires you? Do you feel that you want to be away from all of that? But what sets this community apart from other communities out there? What makes us different? It is this love, this unique and different love that we have that sets us apart. is not the romantic kind of love between a couple. It's not the family kind of love between parents and children or siblings. It is not platonic love between two friends, but it is the different sacrificing kind of love that God has, God kind of love. This unique sacrificing love binds us together, and it appears, it manifests in this community. So let us turn to John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17, the scripture for today, to look at this model of love that has been displayed for us. In verse 1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' Jesus answered him, 'What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no share in me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you.' For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' When he had washed their feet, put on his outer garment, resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.'" So after the whole passage, there are two things raised in this passage. First, it has shown us how to lower ourselves. And secondly, it shows us how to live like Jesus. So first, it is to lower yourself. In verses 3 to 5, it says, "Jesus, knowing that Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper, laid aside his outer garment, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. He poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and wiped them with the towel that was wrapped around him." But first, let us look at the historical context of that time. People during that time, they wore sandals, and they walked on sandy, muddy, and non-paved streets. And by the time they got to the houses, they had to wash their feet before entering the house. That's because they had mud, they had sand, they had sweat, and we really don't know what else is on their feet. Can you imagine that image? That icky bits of gunks stuck in between your toes, and you had to clean that out. The cleaning of the dirt, that act, was something left for slaves to do. Not just any kind of slaves, not the Jewish slaves, but the Gentile slaves. Those who were right at the bottom of the social status. They were the lowest of all. Yet Jesus, the teacher, the masters of the disciples, he lowered himself to do this. He cleaned the feet of the disciples. He was the one who poured the water. He was the one who washed the feet. He was the one who cleaned them with the towel wrapped around his waist. He demonstrated very clearly to lower ourselves and to serve him, serve others. As a teacher, he could have put on air and said to disciples to wash his feet. He could like, "Peter, come here, wash my feet for me." And he sat there and waited. That would have been very natural. That would have been something that they would do. Yet he was the one who washed the feet of the disciples. This action was something so different, so radical, and so shocking that Peter's response was that he did not allow Jesus to wash his feet. Let us look at his response. In verse 8, it says, Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Yet Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share in me." Just imagine yourself to be in a position of Peter. It's like your teacher or even Pastor Wilbur, Pastor Joshua coming up to you, say, "Take off your shoes. I will wash your feet for you." And you know that you have worn your shoes for one whole day with the socks and you have sweaty feet. Awkward march. That is how radical the actions of Jesus were. The love that was demonstrated by Jesus, so radical that Peter felt awkward and he responded with a sharp, "No, never. You will never wash my feet." But now, continue to imagine you're Peter and you're seated right here. And you see Jesus right there. He's washing the feet of other disciples, coming closer and closer and closer to you. Seeing how Jesus was washing the feet of others, it must have puzzled Peter. He was confused. He did not understand what Jesus was trying to do. He did not understand the actions of Jesus. How does it mean to be a servant? Not just a servant, but someone with that radical and different transformative love. Jesus showed us that we must learn to lower ourselves to do the dirty job. But there's something more to it than just being willing to do that kind of jobs. It's the mindset, it's that kind of mentality that one must take on when doing the work. But what kind of mindset do we need to have? Are we doing it out of love? Or are we feeling prideful that we are doing this kind of jobs? Let us keep it in mind that we take on the dirty job. It is not because I want to tell people, "Hey, look at me. I'm so great. I can take on the dirty jobs. I can clean the floor. I can do all the setup, and I take pride in that." But Jesus is telling us, no, when you lower yourself to do that kind of things, it is because you do it out of love. You do it out of love for the community that you're in. It's that different kind of love that is present in the community that enables us to be more like Jesus, to wash the feet of others. But aside from looking at that, let us also look at the physical posture of washing someone's feet. It is a humbling and intimate gesture. When would you kneel down? I can only think of two scenarios. One, on Sunday morning, kneeling down for confession. Two, when you're proposing to your girlfriend. Those are the two scenarios that I can think of when you're kneeling down. So to wash someone's feet, it would mean that you have to kneel down, take off their shoes, and you have to touch them at their feet, which, according to the Jews, is the most dirty part. That is a humbling posture. It is rare for us to kneel down. It's even more rare for us to kneel down in front of someone who's below our social status. But Jesus shows us what it means. Because of the different love that comes from him, we show this different love to others in the community, to lower myself, to lower the pride I have to live different. And that reason can be found in verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, it says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The key word is love. With the many different kind of love that we have, parental love, platonic love, romantic love, but right here, right now, what Jesus is showing them is a sacrificing love, a humbling love, love that embodies humbleness. And it is in this love that we lower ourselves to wash the feet of others. For example, something as simple as setting the chairs. Some might feel that it's a menial job and it's often not glorified. But when you do take on that kind of job, you do it because of the love you have for Christ, the love you have for the community. Jesus is saying that when we lower ourselves, it is in love, it is to work with each other's differences, to be more loving, to be more like him. Which leads me to my next point.
The first was to lower yourself. The second is to live like Jesus. Verses 12 to 17, he shows them that he washes their feet. He put on the outer garment. He resumes his place. He asks them if they know what he's doing to them. And he tells them, this is my example, and you have to do this to one another. Here, Jesus explains it explicitly to them, that they should do unto others what he has done for them. Having shown his disciples what to do, he tells them to follow him. He calls them out. He encourages them to follow him in example. He's not going to let them fight over who's the most privileged, who's the most honorable, who can sit on the right and the left of his hands. No. It's very hard to draw an organization chart where Peter is on top of Andrew and Andrew is on top of Peter all at the same time. It is so difficult. So what is Jesus trying to show? He's trying to show them that we are all equal, but we are all equal in love. This kind of equality is based on the fact that Jesus is the master. He is the teacher who has proven himself to be the servant of us all. And because we are to serve each other in this new life, out of the transformative love that we receive, we love others and serve others as well. But this cannot be achieved by us. We have to leave behind the bios to enter into Zoe. And when we enter into Jesus, we enter into this new love. We metamorphosize, we change. And it is done so through Jesus. The disciples are the bearers of this example. They have undergone this radical transformation. And likewise, we are called to this life too. We are called to undergo this radical transformation. We are called to metamorphosize into Jesus. And when we enter into Jesus, we are a part of him. We are a part of this family that displays the unique and different love. To live like Jesus is not just being about a servant. It is to exercise the different kind of love that we have, that he has. When we take on the mentality of washing feet, it's an act of love. I still remember the first time when I took on a bigger role in serving. I was a small group leader. So when I was younger, I thought, oh, I'm chosen to be a small group leader. It means I'm good. I had it all together. And I am better than the rest. So I took pride in everything I did, from the big things to the small things. And I did this. I would always compare myself to my members. I was thinking, why can't they just be more like me? Why? Why can't they just read the Bible? Why can't they come prepared for Bible study? I'm not asking for 100% alikeness. 5% will do. Not much, just 5%. I was willing to do everything. The so-called dirty work. I don't mind planning. I didn't mind setting up, leading worship. I didn't mind doing anything that could help them. But I did mind one thing. I did mind that they did not listen. I did mind that they did not come prepared. And despite all my efforts, everything was done on one thing. It was done on, I am the best. So it was me, myself, and I. There was no real love of Christ in the things I did. I always thought that being a servant leader meant that I would go the extra mile. You have not read the Bible? It's okay. I will read for you. You have no discipline to read? I will plan a reading schedule for you. You don't want to do devotion? It's all right. We have WhatsApp. I will WhatsApp my devotion to you. Just read my devotion. I will do everything for them. But at that age of 17, I did not understand what it means to love. It took me being hurt by the response of my member who said two words. You know what? You're overbearing and you're controlling. Those two words slapped me in my face, and that hurt me a lot. It took that kind of hurt for me to understand what it means to love and what it means to be a servant with love and to lead with love. It means that I should be accepting of where they are and to lead them with love from where they are. to love them like how Jesus loved me. Jesus did not tell me. He said, Canaan, can you not be like me? Not 100%, just 5% will do. Why are you not like me? No, Jesus did not tell me that. He loved me for who I am, and he loved me and where I was, and to lead me to where he wants me to be. It is so easy for us to fall into this physical act of doing things, physical act of setting up, of planning, of all that things that can be seen, that we forget the mentality that Jesus is showing us. It is love that helps us. It is that love that brings this out. Any point of your life, have you felt this way? That all you did was just complain and wonder why others were not like you? I have. But let us learn to live like Jesus. And because we are first loved by the transformative love, let us love others with that radical and different love. Jesus was the model of loving, and he showed his loving attitude to the disciples. What did he do? He took off his jacket, right? He took off his jacket. He laid it aside. He rolled up his sleeves. Physically, he's showing them, I am going to humble myself. He rolled up his sleeves. I don't have a towel here, but he wrapped up a towel. He poured the water. And what did he do? He kneeled down to wash the feet of his disciples. So in turn, as his followers, we are called to do the same. We are called in the example of loving, in the example of serving. We are called to be different in this community of love, which loves with a different kind of love. Lower yourself is not to fake humbleness. It's not to say, huh, no, it's fine, lah. We all do it. It's not that kind of fake humbleness. It is the love that you have. Lower yourself is to take away that pride. Take away the pride to work with others. Accept that others make mistakes. You make mistakes. Everyone does. But to accept that mistake and to love them in that mistake. Accept that it'll be hard to work with others. Everyone have their own different kind of mentality. Accept that and to love them with that love that Jesus loved you with. Accept that when you love others, it means to let go of your pride, to let go of that ego, and to accept that transformative love from Jesus. We do it by lowering ourselves. We do it to see that God's work is more important than who you are. And that will create a community, a different kind of love that can be shown. Next, it is to live like Jesus. Living like Jesus seems like a big, unattainable kind of goal. So far away, something unachievable, something so unreachable. But I'm here to tell you, no. It is not unattainable. It's not unreachable. We can all enter into it when we surrender, when we yield, when we submit, when we abandon. When you surrender your will to Jesus, when you yield your stubbornness to Jesus, when you abandon your pride to Jesus, that is when you learn to live like Jesus. You learn to live like Jesus and allow yourself to be transformed by him, to enter into transformation with him, to be transformed by that love that he has for us. It is going to be an ongoing process. It's not going to be, and there you go, I am new. No, it is not just a snap of the finger. It is a process that you go on and on. You might make mistakes, but you continue to love. You continue to love others with that love that Christ has shown you. We might get hurt, and we might hurt others in the process. But all of this, it will be comforted by that different kind of love that is shown to us in this unique community. We learn to live like Jesus, to love others as we are loved. And when you are hurt, enter into that loving embrace that washed the feet. Enter into that pair of arms that will comfort you. Let go of that hurt. Allow yourself to love the others as you have been loved. Love them back with this unique and different love. Okay, everyone, I want you to do this with me. Put up your left hand and do an L. And now, your right hand, you show an L. Okay, you put them together, you get a heart. Okay? So first, The first L, lower yourself, okay? It takes away your pride and ego. It enters into the love of transformation. The second L, living like Jesus, it means to wash the feet of others in love. And when you put those two actions together, you get love, transformative love, right? And this different love is so special, it's so attractive, that you attract a random guy walking into the church and say, I think this is what I'm looking for. This different love demonstrated by Jesus, this love that he has shown the disciples, now to us is to be followed by us. We need to be transformed. We need to undergo the transformation. And with the help of Christ, we can learn to love others with this same kind of love. The transformation that we undergo is so powerful, so good, so comprehensive, so complete, that it makes a difference to the community that we are in, to the church community, and to the community that the church is in. Going from bios to Zoe, we are transformed. And the transformation is reflected in the community that we are in. Our individual and collective transformation makes us the light and the hope of the world. We are called to let others feel this unique and different love in this unique and different community. Not just in church, but more so in your workplace, more so at your school, more so at home. It is to make a statement about this loving God, this living God that we believe in. And when we come together in love, the church would be a place where people can learn to serve, a people where healing can take place, a place where people can be reborn. And all this, it is possible when we allow ourselves to be transformed by Christ, to be able to have a life where love is present. When you're tired, you can come back to church and to be recharged to face the challenges at work, to be embraced by that loving hand of God. And all this, it is possible when you're transformed. I challenge you to think, is this the kind of life that you want? Is this the kind of community that you want to be a part of? Allow Jesus to transform you. Allow yourself to be transformed. Let others know that there is a place where it is different, where there's this different kind of love. And just like the song, oh Lord, change me like only you can. And here, with my heart in your hands, Father, I pray, make me more like Jesus. More like Jesus. Let us rise together and let us make this prayer as we sing this song in response.
My heart in your hands. us the way to your heart. So Father, I pray, make me more like Jesus, more like Jesus, more like Jesus. If more of you means less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything. If more of you means less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything. Oh Lord, change me like only you can. Here with my heart in your hands, Father, I pray, make me more like Jesus. This world is dying to know who you are. You've shown us the way to your heart. So Father, I pray, make me more like Jesus, more like Jesus, more like Jesus.
If more of you means less of me, take care. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything. If more of you means less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything.
Please be seated.